The Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN.
Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised.
A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi. So just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show.
Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal.
You can also find the link in the show notes.
Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy shark do 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 do. Surfy shark do 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 do.
And now back to the show. The following is a Super Network production with Super Marcy.
If I could have given them that money, I would have gladly taken my cameo in the Fanatic.
The terrible Australian B. Jermaine.
See, that's a version of this scene I want to see. Instead of Casey Jones, it's just Jason Voorhees.
It contains coarse language.
This movie has had two different women having two different tongues up their
mature themes.
Like, I could also imagine, like, some people at this party could also be members of the cult.
Potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Listener discretion is advised. Please find us at supermarcy.com and subscribe to us via Patreon at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy.
What do you think?
I think with your IQ, you're unarmed and still very dangerous.
Okay, Sherlock Holmes, if you're so goddamn smart, you tell me who set us up.
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
You don't know shit. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Relax. Soap, and don't flatter yourself, Pee-wee.
I don't know you that well. Don't worry, Cash, someday the other one will drop.
Attaboy, Tripod. Just keep talking.
Sure thing, Minnie Mouse.
G'day, everyone. This is B. Jermaine, a.k.a. The Terrible Aussie, and welcome back to the special fan-voted audio commentary edition of the Super Podcast. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hey, hey. We're back again.
Nino's back. Tell her, Fred.
Yeah,
sure. And Marcy too, apparently.
Marcy is the best.
Well, that is true. There's no debating that. Well,
this is the Super Podcast. The flagship podcast at the Super Network that has been running for 12 years straight. Just thought I'd add that in.
Indeed. It was the podcast 12th anniversary last month, which we did talk about on the Super Podcast episode. And 12 years going strong. And it still surprises me, especially this little show still continuing while other shows out there are kind of the past 12 years, which kind of started around the same time and no longer around anymore, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, we're the OG and the best.
Indeed. We have perseverance, Marcy. We maybe it's because we don't have lives. We can just do the show. So, although that could change very soon, but we can't say anything about that. But that's a whole different story, right there. That's a top secret thing that we can't talk about until further notice.
I plan on winning the lottery and pissing off out of you.
Indeed. I'm going to win the lottery and just build my own studio, which is both an actual thing I want to do and also a reference to The Simpsons, but I digress. but Marcy, on this episode of the Super Podcast, we are not alone.
No.
We have two very special guests.
We do.
For the show. And first up, of course, is a man who is one of our contributors over at the Super Network. And that, of course, is the one, the only, Marcus Wilturner. Hello, Marcus. How are you?
I'm good, buddy boy. How are you lovely folks doing today?
We're good.
Pretty good so far, even though we're technically back in lockdown again. But
we're
in
lockdown number 6 as of recording this podcast. All up during this pandemic, the people here in the lovely city and suburbs of Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, have spent over 6 months in lockdown.
That is true.
So I'd say that, but anyway.
Yeah, if you combine all the times we've been in lockdown, it would have been about 6 months total.
Yeah, almost probably 7 even.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
But anyway.
But it's not our city's fault. It's Sydney's fault. but that's a whole different can of worms right there. But Marcus, what has been going on with you?
Just trying to live our lives over here and, you know, good old the U.S. of A. During our, it was everybody's pandemic, but during a pandemic over here as well. And actually, considering you guys are in lockdown, I pretty much assume we're going to be following suit on that because a lot of people around here are honestly acting like this damn thing is over when it's not. So, you know, we're going to be, I have no...
Thanks, Texas.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. But it's the same. It's like that over here too in Washington State. So it's thanks Washington State, you knob.
Exactly. But we are also joined by another special guest who is also like Marcus returning to the show, and that of course is Sean Clancy. Hello, Clancy. How are you?
Hi.
I'm good. I'm happy to be back on the show. So,
indeed. Yeah. And it's funny, though, because the last time you both were on the Super Podcast for an audio commentary was for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which unfortunately Marcy wasn't there for that episode.
But
so.
I'm here for this one.
That's right, yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, that was a good time. That was a good time.
Indeed. And that was
such a great time.
This is going to be even better because...
Exactly.
Absolutely.
August, I decided
indeed.
It was going to be Kurt Russell month, so whatever won the poll was going to be a Kurt Russell movie, so I'm a happy girl.
Indeed, Marcy, whatever was going to win the poll, you and all the other Kurt Russell fans were just going to have an orgasm anyway, regardless of the movie.
Exactly.
Yes, and
probably multiple.
Sorry, Clayton.
Probably everybody.
Yes.
But, I was going to say all of them, like, I mean, you know, all the Kurt Russell movies. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Is there such thing as a bad Kurt Russell movie? I mean, Captain Ron was great.
Just because
of Kurt Russell.
Exactly. Kurt Russell makes everything, even if the movie's kind of like, he makes it at least 100 times better by being in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
But yes, that is correct. This August... fan voted commentary edition of the Super Podcast. The theme, of course, as Marcy said, was Kurt Russell month, and we put up the poll on the Super Network Facebook group, which had 6 Kurt Russell movies on there, and the winner of the poll, which was, and not surprising at least, was Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
Heyo.
Although I was a little bit scared because Escape from LA was very close behind. It was like legit for a while, at least one vote behind Tango and Cash. And then luckily somebody came along and saved us by adding an extra vote for Tango and Cash.
Okay. Do you not like Escape from LA?
Not really. I mean, Russell's also in it, but it's a bit too silly for my taste.
You know what? No Kurt Russell orgasm.
Surfing down, what was it, Mulholland Drive or Hollywood Boulevard or whatever, when he's fucking surfing with Steve Buscemi? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but
I mean,
it's a fun, stupid movie.
That is true. And it would have made him a good one, too, as a commentary anyway, just to make fun of. Regardless, though, we have an absolute classic that, of course, is the 1989 action film of Tango and Cash, which also has Kurt Russell starring alongside Sylvester Stallone. And this film is definitely a classic, even though it had a very troubled behind-the-scenes production, which we'll definitely talk about a little bit during the commentary. But, yeah, I'm really excited for this one because it's been a little while since I've seen the movie, but I did really enjoy it the first time I watched it, and I'm looking forward to rewatching it again with all of you guys.
Awesome.
So we'll get right to it.
Yes.
Now, for the ground rules, as per usual, if you haven't listened to any of our previous audio commentaries before, first of all, how dare you? But what you need to do is get a copy of Tango and Cash, whether it's on DVD or Blu-ray or somewhere streaming. We're going to start the film from the very start. And I'm going to count down from five. And when I say go, that's when you play the movie. And then that way our audio commentary will be in sync with the film. But I'm pretty sure even if you don't have a copy of this film, I mean, if you don't, again, how dare you? I'm pretty sure the commentary itself will still be a fun listen to regardless on its own. So let's get right to it. Marcy, Marcus, Clancy, are you ready to have a little tango and cash?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's do this. I'll count us down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, tango.
Shut up, cunt. How dare you? All right, I've expect got Warner Brothers pictures up. Let's do it.
Well, that's what the subtitle just said. Let's do it.
Tango
and Cash.
Let's do it. God, driving that shitty Chrysler.
I'm on my way to go star in Suicide Squad.
That's a shock.
This is my case. I can't go over the border. But he's like, fuck that.
Actually, now that I think about it, Marcy, I think this is actually the very first Stallone film we've ever done a commentary for any podcast ever.
Really? We've never done a Stallone movie?
We've never done a Stallone movie.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, how is that possible?
Didn't go over the top?
Nope. Actually, I think Over the Top was on our canon movie month poll, but it didn't win.
No. We never did Cobra or anything?
Not that I'm aware of.
Demolition Man? Cobra.
No.
We haven't done The Expendables.
Nope. Never done
Demolition Man.
I could be wrong, but I can't think of one off the top of my head. I know we've done ones for Schwarzenegger, Van Damme. Who else?
Did me and Clancy never do this as a commentary?
I don't think so.
Watch this all the time.
Today? No, we did.
I feel like we did.
I don't have to look this up.
No, we did. We did.
I feel like we did. Fade's going to have to look it up.
Also, can we just discuss that? What did that put the ass gun? That's how he shoots. Apparently Slash and the guy with the big jaw.
Yep. Robert Sadar.
The guy looks like Slash.
That's a Maniac Cop.
Indeed. And also the bad guy from Samurai Cop.
Yep.
Yes, exactly. But in this movie, he looks like Slash.
I can take anything out with my smoke gun.
Yeah, and he's straight up copying Police Story, too. You are not Jackie Chan, sir, but you are Sylvester Stallone.
Like jewelry.
Do the honors.
God, look at that chin. Jesus Christ.
God, no helicopter would ever fly that low.
Okay, sort of looking up. Nope, no Tango and Cash audio commentary.
Really?
Previous one. Nope.
Could have sworn we did.
And he got his suit from Macy's, but he bought those sunglasses from Kmart.
Well, the funny thing is, those are actually Stallone's actual real life glasses. He actually had mm-hmm. he needs them because he wears contact lenses in all these films.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, he's nearsighted with an astigmatism.
Hmm.
I didn't know any of that.
Oh, did you see I'm a big nerd with these glasses?
Love this part right here.
Look at this
dude's head. He's Rambo. The fucking hair.
Num num?
Rambo is a pussy. Coming from Stallone.
Playing
is even better.
The straight-laced guy.
Right. God, those glasses.
I need to get you some of his glasses.
Indeed.
I think also, it should be known as a cop. Now, I'm not a cop, but you don't taste white powder ever.
No.
Oh, that's cocaine. Who the fuck? What?
It's James Hong, and Jack Palance.
Oh, Jack Palance.
What were we laughing about Jack Palance some other week ago? I can't remember what it was.
Well, we talked about how Skeletor in Master of the Universe looks like Jack Palance.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
I thought we were talking about, like, what I was discussing with you guys about Batman.
Yes.
And I was just a ridiculous human. In that movie.
It did.
And apparently he told Tim Burton that he refused to walk out of a bathroom while filming. I was blown away by that fact.
Wow.
Oh, hello, baby. I mean, Kurt Russell.
It's that damn Kurt Russell.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me again, you know, just...
I'm sorry. Everyone comes second to Kurt Russell.
And his hair.
True.
Emphasis on comes, huh?
Okay, so I have a question. This movie establishes that Rambo does exist in the world of this movie, the movie.
Apparently,
so does that mean when Ray Tango goes to the movies and sees a Rambo film, does he ever just sit there and look like, you know, Rambo looks exactly like me?
Yes.
I don't know. That's a good point. Yeah.
Why does he have a gun in his shoe or whatever the hell he just did?
To be fair, every cop had a gun in their shoe in 80s and 90s action films. I like
and
how...
Also, the fucking hand cannon that Quan had, like, that would have blown three... And also... Where are the goddamn bullet holes in his shirt?
I don't know.
I just literally at this exact second noticed that. But that was a fucking hand cannon. That should have blown through his heart.
I like how Russell,
he's God.
I like how the laser sight is bigger than the actual gun.
Oh, way bigger.
You're not wrong.
You know, maybe the
fucking Russian guy.
Fuck those kids.
His mullet deflected the bullets.
Exactly. And also, Kurt Russell deliberately kicked that trolley into the car.
He really did.
He's just like, "Fuck your living, lady.
I don't care. You're homeless."
Hey, turn it on.
She was probably taking those to like the recycle bin. Hello, titties.
He's
probably taking those to like the recycling plant to like make rent for her cardboard box, but yeah.
Bit of an asshole.
That couple was definitely doggy in that car. They wanted everyone to watch.
Of course
you would know that.
Guy, he's a fucking dork and she's hot. Like, yeah.
I kind of like surprisingly how sort of think about it, like how this movie would have been different if because Kurt Russell was only a last minute addition to this movie. Originally, Patrick Swayze was originally cast as Cash, but then he had to drop out so he could due to Roadhouse.
Roadhouse,
which was Perfect.
Very perfect. I'm sorry. I just got to comment again on Clancy saying that that girl was hot and the dude was hideous.
Like, he looked like a guy that you'd find at, like, Barnes & Noble. And then you look at her and you're like, I'm like, fuck, I would find you at, not Hooters, you know, because, but whatever. Like, you find her on a college campground. Or a campus. Campground. Wow. Wow. Have some more weed and whiskey.
So basically, she doesn't look like the girl next door.
No.
Hello, young Terry Hatcher.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. I like how she's
would do that, but I would hawk up something.
I like how she's meant to play like Stallone's younger sister, and she's like 30 years younger than him.
Well, she could be a really, really, really young sister.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
Or maybe he just looks way older than he's supposed to be.
That is true. Oh, I should make fun of Sly because I think he was in his mid-40s around the time he made this film.
Really?
I think so. That makes sense. Yeah, because he's like 76 now?
I don't think he's that old. I think he's like 72, 73.
He's in his 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do mathematics, so...
I'm going to look for his birth date and then go back from there.
Or you could just Google how old is Sylvester Stallone and not do the math.
Okay, so he was 43 when he made this movie.
Okay. How old was
Russell? And that is one of the guys from 24 when he was...
Right.
Oh, yes. Y'all. I forgot his name. 24, yeah, he was the secret agent. Helping Jack Bauer.
Okay, so.
What cop has that kind of office, by the way?
He does.
A good cop.
He looks like a good cop. Well, he just said, like, he dresses like a banker, and he has a banker's office in a fucking police station.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Take it off, Kurt Russell.
Okay, so Stallone at the moment is 75 years old, and Kurt Russell's just turned 70,
and they both look fantastic.
Yeah, so Kurt would have been, if Stallone was 43 when this movie came out, Kurt would have been 38.
Huh. Wow.
Well, look at the mullet. Look at the mullet. Keeps him young. Keeps him young.
And I would have done Kurt Russell then and now. So staying power with that man.
Also, along with his son Wyatt too, right, Marcy?
Oh yeah, I'm waiting for the father son double team.
I really want to find Kurt Russell's shirt. That shirt online.
That one.
And just wear that. Yeah.
God.
I mean, Marcy, you sent me the Big Trouble in Little China.
I did. I found
tank top. I need that shirt.
Why is
just
there?
Just so I can choke out a. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Jesus.
It's just the seed of the movie. That's all it is.
That's all it is. He's literally strangling him with a chair right now.
Why is there a table and chair in the men's locker room?
In the bathroom?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
an
you.
Everything room, apparently.
It's got lockers, it's got urinals, it's got a table. You just sit there and wait until someone finishes their business and you can go and have a turd.
You can sit there and have your coffee while you're staring at them doing it.
Exactly.
Well, remember, what else... I'm not going to lead up right now, but what else was that guy in?
Made will
know. Quan. I will find out. What else? He was in something.
I'll find out. Because I got all my info. I find out everything. Let me see. Give me 1 second. Looking for him.
Look at that headline. I guess everybody loves Raymond, right?
Well, Quan was James Hong.
No, the other guy that he was just strangling.
Okay. Let me see. Find his name, but I can't seem to find him.
No, his name is Quan in the movie.
I don't think so, because Quan's the James Hong character. Let me just see. Maybe this is different.
No, you're thinking of that horrible one with the ice and when the BMW would fucking.
Oh, wait a minute. Philip Tan.
Philip Tan, yeah.
What has Philip Tan been in? He's probably one of those actors who's been in like everything.
Same with the as they call him, Ponytail.
Well, he's
him. Yeah.
Actor. He's an actor and stuntman, so he's been a stuntman in a billion zillion movies. Mm. Name a movie, okay. He's been a stunt person in it, but in terms of actual film credits, he was also in... Oh, he was a Wheeler in Return to Oz. But he was also in The Perfect Weapon, Showdown in Little Tokyo, he was in that, Bloodsport 2, Lethal Weapon 4.
Yep.
Big Mama's House. He's been a lot of stuff, but he's mainly a stunt person.
We got a show done in Little Tokyo.
I think one of the things that's interesting to me about Tango and Cash is like it's probably world renowned as like having one of the most troubled productions out there in Hollywood. Basically, this film had like 4 different directors work on it. The main director, Andre Konchalovsky, he was fired 3 months into filming. The movie went over budget and over schedule. And it also got to a point where Jack Palance himself was very angry with the production because when he signed on, he was hoping to have a lot of... The script had him with scenes with Stein, and in the finished product, script was rewritten so much because it wasn't finished when they started shooting it.
Mm.
And he ended up not having any scenes with Stallone at all in the film.
Oh.
And also it was...
he didn't have anything with Stallone or Kurt Russell.
That is true.
From my understanding.
Mm.
And also the film was completely re-edited and the film's original cinematographer, Barry Sonnenfeld, who would go on to be a director in his own right, he was fired from the production as well.
What the hell are they doing trying to make this movie?
Yeah, it's one of those... There's some really good videos out there about the making of this film, like how it was so much of a troubled production. It's really interesting stuff. And the fact that this movie still ended up being as entertaining as it was kind of just shows, like... But I suppose when you have... John Peters as the producer of this movie, you know it's going to be all over the place.
Hmm.
And of course, John Peters famously was like, as Kevin Smith said, wanted to put a giant spider in the Superman movie that he was originally going to produce. But that same spider ended up being in Wild Wild West instead.
And that movie is crap.
Indeed. Brian James!
I hate that movie.
Hey, come back here. I want to know how to get a ponytail like you.
I'm just here for Bede's impressions.
Indeed. It's just so
look at that mullet.
I know. Kurt Russell is one of the only few people I can think of who can pull off a mullet. A mullet really well.
Mm-hmm. In any time period.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that he still had the mullet in fucking Guardians of the Galaxy 2 kind of says something as well.
Hey, it kept him immortal, I guess.
Mm. He's like Barbara, it's like Barbara. It's like Barbara Streisand with her nose. The power of Kurt Russell is in his mullet.
The power of the schnoz.
Exactly.
I mean, it's Kurt fucking Russell.
I mean, look at him. He's beautiful.
He grew the most glorious mustache in Tombstone. He had the most glorious beard in The Thing. He's got the most glorious mullet in this movie. And then he kind of combined it all with fucking The Hateful Eight.
That is true.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he literally incorporated all three looks in one movie. Yeah.
Could his gun be any bigger?
I like how Stallone walks around with a small gun, but Kurt has a very big gun.
And he doesn't even need to compensate for anything, because we know he's packing heat downstairs.
Thank you very much for telling me that. Thank you very much for telling me that, Marcy.
You should thank Clancy. We know that because of him.
Face off.
Yeah. And I discussed this before, the Kurt Russell Glenwood Springs story.
Yeah. See, this could have been a prequel to Face Off.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Which I actually watched yesterday, which is weird. I was high and I just needed an action movie to watch.
I guess one of the interesting things about this film, at least for me, like as an action film, because usually when you have buddy cop films, usually you'll have like the one straight character and the one who's kind of the more crazy character, the loose cannon of the two. But the thing is, they're both that character. They're both the loose cannons.
Russell's the loose cannon, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Stallone's even though he's got the suave suit and trying to be a little more proper, but he's still a loose cannon in his own right as well.
He is.
Yeah.
Well, at the end, he's a loose cannon. Now he's, you know, afterwards, you know, he's just blowing people away at fucking Jack Balance's weapons warehouse.
Well, I mean, that's why they're Tango and Cash or Waltz and Pennies or Cabbage Patch and Moolah. They just compliment each other so well.
Patch and Moolah. I can't wait for that movie.
They're listening to a tape from Kevin Feige telling him, oh, you guys are going to be starring next in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Learn to deal with it.
Exactly. That'll be your next team up.
Don't they know who these two cops are? Come on.
Can't you remember? I look like that Sylvester Stallone guy, Rambo.
Yeah, on the front page, I'm the number one cop. You don't know who I am? Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any num-nums?
Num-nums.
Num-nums.
Num-num?
Yeah.
Num-num.
I live in Colorado. I've cut all the num-nums.
And this is also around that
part of the Cash commentary.
Yes. Well, this was like that interesting time in Stallone's career, because this was like post-80s when his box office clout was going down a little bit. Because I know Tango and Cash wasn't a huge hit when it came out. It did okay. But I think it was kind of released around a time where it was up against so many other movies that it just didn't do that well at the box office. And also it was around also that time when I think he wanted to do kind of more comedic kind of stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, you know, like...
Upper my mouth will shoot.
Like Oscar and Don't Shoot... Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
What about shoot, Rhinestone? Yeah.
Well, Rhinestone came out in the early 80s, though, so... True, yeah.
I don't know, that actually... Like
Stallone kind of he did like a weird Bob Ross mountain landscape where like he was going up, then he kind of plateaued, went up, went down, plateaued, went up again, like with the Expendables, and then now he's just kind of plateauing.
I don't know. He's got like the Creed films. He was in Guardians 2. I mean, he's got Suicide Squad now as well.
And everybody loves King Shark.
That is true. So I think he's got big like
after this, like he went like to Cliffhanger.
Oh yeah.
In the early 90s, and everyone was like, "Oh fuck, Stallone, yes." And then I think he did what? Copland after that, and everyone's like, Fats Stallone.
He was really good in that movie, though.
That's a really
good movie. He was terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people just weren't ready for Stallone the actor, rather. They wanted Stallone the action star.
So, this is like the most stupidest, ridiculous trial ever because there's not actual concrete evidence.
Hmm. Yeah, it's obvious, like, this
would
movie
not, they would not get convicted unless bribing the jury or judge, because it's all circumstantial. It's not... Yeah, it's not proper without a reasonable doubt kind of thing.
It almost seems like this was a movie that had way too many rewrites.
You're weird.
Because when you think about it, the plot, most of the plot of this movie really doesn't make any sense.
Well, honestly,
they want the cops out of the way
to
their drug shit. That's the basic plot.
Yeah.
The rest of it doesn't really make
sense. Well, no one did any sort of GSR with the guns. And for those tuning in, currently, GSR is gunshot residue, which is what investigators do on a gun to see if there's any residue on the trigger finger or the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a form of gunpowder. And they never did that with them. So they could literally just say, yeah, we didn't shoot the guy, do a GSR, and they would have been off without them right now talking about the birth dates and who's going to do the opening statements.
So I just realized Philip Tan, the guy from before, I saw him recently in Martial Law with Cynthia Rothrock.
Ah, that is right.
Because it was bugging me. I'm like, why do I know that name? What did I just see him in this year? And now I know.
That Philip Tan.
Now I'm just, you know, drooling over Kurt Russell. Because why would I be? It's all I have in my life.
I mean, that too is amazing.
I like how
you haven't split out of your room yet.
And now those glasses
are kind of bothering me. Like, that is both of them. That is, those are suits right there. And that tie. Can we talk about that tie on Sly Stallone?
That's a fashionable tie.
Yeah.
And Kurt Russell's outfit is like something he just threw together in like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Because all he has is the mullet, and that's all he needs.
I love how they're just acting like children towards each other.
The Honorable Judge, like, corrupt, is coming to the stage.
Right.
So basically like any other judge, then.
Yes.
I'm just waiting for them to hurry up and get in jail and have a shower.
That's what you came here for, huh, Marcy?
I'll be honest, it's coming up in like 5 minutes. Not 5 minutes, like 2 minutes. When Kurt Russell gets up and he goes, you know, he spoke so eloquently, but I'm just going to say it. This whole thing fucking stop. And like everyone applauds. Like, yeah.
Beautiful.
Here we go.
I never got my num nums.
As you don't know. Spoke so eloquently.
I got a mullet.
Mullet gives him strength.
Yes. Right there.
There it is.
It's a pile of shit, bro.
He's not wrong, though.
No.
Yeah, they do pretty much get railroaded. Like,
it's total bullshit.
Very, very quickly. Like, very quickly.
This trial only took 2 hours.
Literally.
Looks like it.
Now, Stallone's only in trial in this scene because of Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Jesus.
That movie had a stop there, and she's a treasure. Just saying.
And the judge's face looks like it's about to melt off.
Guilty.
Dunk dong.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Oh, the interesting, I just realized Tango and Cash came out the same year as Batman, which Jack Palance was also in and John Peters also produced as well.
Oh shit, yeah, true.
Oh shit. Yeah. Good call.
Is it and it's now I just realized Jack Palance has basically played the same character here as he did in Batman.
Yeah.
And his other henchman there, he was in that Michael Dudikoff movie I watched, Avenging Force, I think.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the white supremacist guys. He's also in Star Trek.
Yes.
I'm a nerd for this shit. Shut up.
No, just the part where you were like, he was in Avenging Force and also Star Trek.
Was it Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
All of a sudden, Amanda Waller comes out and says, you've now been promoted to Task Force. Task Force X.
We're going to turn you into a shark.
And Kurt Russell.
Yeah, who would Kurt Russell be?
He could be Pokemon.
For where?
Man.
For what?
No. He'd be sexy man. That's it.
Sexy man.
Sexy man.
Can you get this dude's haircut?
I was gonna say Jeffrey.
There we go. Yes. Oh.
Yeah. Pants are coming off.
Oh.
Why do I get the feeling when this movie came out on VHS, your copy of your VHS kept like shriveling at that point because it got rewound and fast forward way too many times?
Yeah, pretty much. That was the only bit I watched. It was just to see Kurt Russell's ass. Yeah. And now he's sticky too.
It's probably sticky too.
You don't know shit.
He's gonna call him Pee Wee pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's not my fault I take too many steroids.
There it is, Bars.
God.
There it is.
There it is.
There's a picture.
Where is that picture? I have to find it.
It's on my profile pictures.
Pee-wee.
Yeah, you know shit.
Soap.
Soap.
Stallone's gonna be like, do you like what you? Stallone's like, do you like what you see?
And Kurt's right, and Russell's like, nope.
And
no, Russell. Russell's like, Russell's almost offended. Like I would touch you. No.
The only person I would touch my wallet, by the way, wants to be touched by is me.
There you go.
By the way, has anyone seen Sylvester Stallone's daughters?
Oh yeah.
No, not recently.
One of them was in one of the 47 Meters Down films. She was like one of the leads of that.
But I mean, just in general, like, fuck. Such good genes.
Well, they must be from. Well, Sly's wife, Jennifer Flavin, is pretty hot. So
yeah, you're right. Yeah. This fucking guy.
Robert Sadar.
You broke that jaw?
Yeah. That thing could crush cinder blocks.
That jaw of Robert Sadar's launched his entire career.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, he died, what, a decade ago?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't find a good res picture of it. It's only on like your old Skype.
I'm just sort of realizing, like, do they realize that all these like newspapers are on fire around the prison? Isn't anyone going to do something about it?
Yeah, that's kind of a, you know, I don't know, safety issue.
Yeah.
Well, it was the 80s. People gave really less of a fuck back then.
Ew.
I mean, they're not wrong. I mean, Al Capone got syphilis and fucking The Rock, Alcatraz. Huh. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
They didn't give a fuck.
Nope.
I would be the same way. That is yours.
I think that guy was his. Clint Howard!
Oh, there he is.
Yep.
Fucking Clint Howard.
Again.
How is it that Ron Howard looks like he looks with just the most ginger look? And then he got him.
And who here's
has the half his hair.
And the funny thing is, Clint Howard at the time of this movie was only 29 years old. And he looks
crazy.
He was 29?
Yeah, because he's only 61 now.
What the actual fuck?
Poor Clint Howard.
29.
Yeah. I think that I'm gonna check.
You're not like blowing smoke up my asshole.
Okay, technically 62, so he would have been 30 when he made this movie.
Either way.
And somehow he looks at least 40 years older than his brother Ron.
He looks older than Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone combined.
Clint Howard is a Canadian hard 60 in this movie.
Exactly.
Hard 60. I haven't heard of that one before.
It still blows my mind. That's like when we were talking
Batch for that one.
It's like when we talked about Rock and Roll High School Marcy on the Our Other podcast.
Wasn't he like 20 children? In that and he looked like 70?
Yes.
No.
He was 20 when he made Rock and Roll High School, and he looked at least 50, and he was the youngest person in that cast.
Wow.
And he looked like the only one who didn't belong in high school.
He just got out of high school when he made that movie.
I know.
Yeah, those are bad genes.
Yeah, on that side of things, of course.
Yes.
Whee!
He really didn't want to be in this movie.
No. Goodbye, everyone.
He went up, when he went over that balcony, he was like, you know what? I'm not going to be in this movie long. I'm going to make my balcony fall the most hilarious thing ever.
And down the garbage chute.
I wish Kurt Russell would just fly into my house.
It's like earlier in the movie, Kurt Russell jumped out of a three-story building, it lands on the ground, and he's not injured at all.
So, truth be told, this scene in this movie always made me think of Bad Dudes on Nintendo.
Ah, the game, yeah.
Because they wore, like, yeah, I mean, they wore white beaters and fucking dark pants. And they kicked the shit out of everybody.
You missed me before. I was trying to play Super Double Dragon, failing at it.
What about Punch Out?
I was failing at that too.
Now, keep a good look at this scene. Like, even though Sylvester Stallone and Jack Palance are in this scene, they're not in the same shot together.
Mm.
Right.
So they would have been shot separately, hence why, you know, Palance was upset that he never got any scenes with Stallone.
And speaking of the fake Australian, ponytail.
Is that an Australian accent?
We need to do a thing on the Fifth Element. Because remember, he was the commander on Fifth Element.
Well, he was also in Blade Runner as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian James.
Get jerk off!
Brian James was one of those actors who like played every villain or henchman in 80s and 90s films.
He called him a wanker, so I'm assuming he thinks he's Aussie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If I say wanker a lot, that means I'm an Aussie.
There he is. There he is. Jaw. I just call him Jaw. Not Jaws.
Jaw.
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 That Jaw?
You're not punching
him. I honestly. Guys. No, you'll crack your hand. Mm. I just don't feel comfortable making fun of him without Mike, Kevin, and Bill from Rip Tracks. I just.
they really know how to make fun of him. And that fucking kick. That kick is epic.
He missed him by about 3 meters.
But the wind
still sent him back.
Yeah. The power of the wind.
Yeah.
Right.
Mullet power.
Kick him in the dick.
And how do you not just fuck everyone up with the baseball bat? Mm. And also, how did he lose it? I would have kept that goddamn thing.
I told you, man, the mullet. He doesn't need the bat.
Exactly.
Oh, well, like, apparently he did, but...
Yeah,
I know. All of a sudden, the bat's gone. Well, he beat the fuck out of everybody. And now he's being electrocuted.
I think you're about 5 seconds ahead of us.
Maybe.
I think you might be, yeah.
That's all right.
But I'm sitting steady with an alimony check.
Another interesting thing, I'm looking up again trivia because, you know, that's what I do.
Survives. I'm trying to be Aussie.
this movie is the first.
Trying to be Aussie.
That's
B. Yes. So there we go.
Okay. What I was going to say is this is the first of 3 movies Stallone did in which he plays a cop who's framed for a crime. Can anyone name the other 2 movies?
Demolition Man.
I was saying, Clancy,
where he plays a cop?
Yeah, this is the first of 3 movies that Stallone starred in which he plays a cop that's framed for a crime.
Yeah, Demolition Man.
And what's the third and final one?
Demolition Man, this, Cobra.
Nope, not Cobra. It was...
I thought that's why he was running away with Bridget Nielsen.
Nope. It was Judge Dredd.
Oh, Judge Dredd, of course.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You betrayed the law!
Piece of shit.
Yeah.
Where he actually takes off his mask, like, or his helmet.
That's not
Judge Dredd. And a bit of trivia about that, the reason why is because he felt like his face was so marketable that he didn't want to, like, he refused to wear the helmet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he refused to wear the helmet because his face was so marketable.
And the ironic thing is, like, he could have kept the mask on and people would have still known it was him because, I mean, it's Stallone. Like, people are going to flock to your movie anyway, regardless if you have a mask on or not.
And that's why Carl Urban is so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Because you know who it is. You don't care who it is, but it's the fucking badass character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Kurt Russell looks really sexy with all his clothes ripped and a bit of blood on there. That's what he looks like every time he leaves my house.
Wow.
I have to object. I'm pretty sure he would never be able to leave your house.
No, he's not really.
Yeah.
One of his variants is just to keep up appearances.
All right, so I'm looking up, like, Brian James, his character. He's not an Australian. He's a British Cockney character.
But I say wankers and blokes.
Wankers and blokes.
Yeah, he's British, but yeah,
It sounds Australian.
He died a couple of years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think he died, let me look this up. Because I know he died a while ago, but I'm not exactly sure when exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but he was, like, in everywhere.
I need to get a drink. Please continue the podcast, guys.
Actually, he died 22 years ago. So in 1989, he died.
Shit.
Oh, so, like, literally right after this movie. Or during this movie.
Oh, well, no, 10 years after this movie, because it was 1999.
Oh, I thought you said 89.
Oh, no, I said 99.
Oh, okay.
So it would have been 3 years after The Fifth Element.
Okay.
Pick up the blood.
I would do Sylvester again, but I'll probably just say num nums again.
Num num.
Oh, come on. Do all of it.
Let's be, you can't do a Kurt Russell impression because, yet, I mean, as much as I love Kurt Russell, like, he doesn't have it as, like, a voice like Stallone or Schwarzenegger's where you can actually do an impersonation of.
No, I mean, it's not like Christopher Walken where, you know, you got a voice. Kurt Russell is American, like, just... And Clint Howard, who apparently is 20 years younger than what you said.
Yes.
With his fucking hair.
That's the thing. He's 30, but he looks at least 50.
Yeah. And even in Arrested Development, when he had his cameo in, like, what, one or two episodes? When he was living in that tree?
Yep.
Yeah.
Same. It, like, he looks the same. He's almost like, I guess he's almost like a Russell. Like, he's ageless.
He aged up.
You know, and then you look at Sly Stallone on his Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. He still looks phenomenal, but goddamn, I mean, it looks great for being old, but definitely not this.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Seriously, somebody needs to make a fan edit that it combines this movie with the Suicide Squad and this, like, Stallone's clean and then he just walks past King Shark's cell. Nom nom. They have a conversation.
Do you have any brisk tea?
Excuse me, the commentary during the slow time.
Not that it's over, just give me some of the drink.
This theme was so ridiculous. Like, look at that fan.
Yeah, it's too fucking...
Every action movie in the 80s and 90s had at least a scene that involves fans that big.
Oh, totally. Totally.
I guess there are fans of fans.
I feel like we need to do something with RoboCop.
Yeah.
Because there is so much ridiculousness with that.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, I don't think any place would have fans that big because it would be too dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they would have, like, a guard or something in front of it. Like, you know, like fencing in front of it so nobody gets caught in or gets sucked in.
Well, and I only mention RoboCop because that guy is in RoboCop, the big guy.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the lawyers, I think.
Huh. The epic chin.
Man, Gabby, you got shotguns. How do you not shoot through bullshit rusty panels? Or just shoot them from there?
Come on, dude. It's the 80s/90s. You know, nobody knew how to fucking aim.
They all went to the stormtrooper school of shooting a gun.
They really did.
I mean, look at that. You got a straight shot. You could aim that shotgun and fucking blow Kurt Russell's head off, or whatever you wanted to. It's a downward shaft. It's downward slides. You just put the shotgun in there, and done.
Well, they're not very intelligent there, Clancy.
No, clearly.
Yeah, they're just not.
Also, how did he stop that propeller?
He just literally smashed the box that controls it, because that's how you do it. Is like you just smash up the box and it just instantly turns off the propeller.
Yeah,
because that's how fans work.
Exactly.
Especially if you got muscles and glasses and a mullet. Hi, Marcy. Welcome back.
Welcome back. I have a drink.
Welcome back. So what kind of drink did you get, Marcy?
Yeah, what do you got? You got like a fucking tankard of drink.
It's Coca-Cola.
Lame. You sounded so sad when you said that.
It's not exciting.
Sylvester Stallone in The Shawshank Redemption.
He wishes. Oh, man.
I don't know. Could he have survived the sisters?
I've been at the sisters.
Actually, considering how he made Clint Howard his bitch.
I got Coke. I also got
extra to it. Yeah.
Gotta love Costco.
Costco is the best.
They treat you right.
This is literally Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels?
Jack Daniels.
Which is probably appropriate, because between Stallone and Russell, they probably have each played a Jack at least 30 times between them at some point in their career.
Yeah.
Jack Burton.
Jack Burton.
Is one that I can remember off the top of my head.
Right. What was Stallone's name in Daylight? That bullshit tunnel garbage movie.
Hold on. I'll find out how many.
It was Jack.
I'm gonna find out how many characters Stallone has played Jack in. Because that's the most common first name in any action movie ever, is Jack.
Well, whatever Jack number you come up with, I'm sure like Robert De Niro probably has that beat.
That is true.
We could investigate this. Oh yeah, I like it when you take your
He played Jack Carter in Get Carter.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Let's see.
God, this movie goes so quick because it's so good.
Oh, interesting. He only played one Jack in his entire career.
Who, Stallone?
Yeah.
What?
He's played he's played characters like Joe or James or Jake, but not only one Jack.
Here we go. Here we go. The scene where everyone flies.
Mullet power! Oh, okay.
All right, so Kurt Russell's Jack.
Good job, Currency.
Doesn't actually say, so we've got Jack Burton.
Didn't he play a Jack in Stargate?
Jack O'Neill?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to run it slow motion.
I think that was it, just the two.
Wow. I just assumed they both played multiple Jacks.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just sort of thinking because, like, at every point, an action star has to play a Jack in a movie. It's, like, mandatory law.
Yeah, I think it's more like they've at least played one.
Well, yeah. Like Leo in Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack Dawson.
How many Jacks?
I guess if you want to consider.
Ooh.
If he's played one.
Go ahead.
I'm going to look up how many Jacks for Schwarzenegger, but I'm also going to look up Bruce as well. I'm curious.
I don't think Schwarzenegger played a Jack.
I'm just curious if he has.
But you look and only because I watched it 2 days ago.
Exactly. This movie is a prequel.
Bruce Campbell.
This movie is Jesus. A prequel.
Oh, wait, here we go. Here we go. Another. But I guess if you're talking Chris Farley, you could, I guess, technically consider him in Black Sheep when he was like Jack Mihoff.
No.
When he got pulled over. So,
okay. So,
action hero Jack Slater.
I was gonna say Jack Slater. Mamasi beat me to it. All right, now, okay. So Bruce Willis. I'm gonna look how many Jacks he's played.
Oh Lord, I'm sure that's a bunch.
It might be the most ten movie. Oh wait a second.
Obviously, it's more John. You know, John McClane, but
John or Jack seems to be the most, I'd say.
Yeah, it's either John or Jack.
Those are good old American names.
Okay, so Bruce has played three.
Oh, here we go. Speaking of Jack, Jack Palance.
Palance.
Right on the screen. Who just played himself.
Okay, all right, so I found Bruce Willis has played five Jacks in his career. He played a character called Jack Delaney in Bandits, not the one that came out in the early 2000s, one of his VOD
movies. Oh, okay.
Coming out.
Oh, God.
He played a character named Jack Harris in Out of Death, another one of the VOD movies. He played a character just called Jack in The Bombing. Let's see. He also played Jack Mosley in 16 Blocks. And, well, technically not Jack, but it's kind of is he played the Jackal in The Jackal.
Oh. God, that movie was so bad.
Jack Palance is Willard.
Exactly.
God, that movie was so bad. Richard Gere is a fucking Irishman.
Oh, you're talking about the Jackal.
Yes.
Yeah, talking about Jackal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tango
but and Cash. An Irishman, like, oh god, he was so fucking bad.
Yeah. I'm not the best with accents, but even I knew that was bad.
Oh, and this guy right here in Tango and Cash.
That's Michael J. Pollard. He's again he's a character actor, but he's also an Oscar-nominated actor too.
He is, and he was the dude that froze to death in Scrooge.
That is true. I'm disappointed. Why isn't Danny Trejo in this movie? He could have been.
Why?
No, he just wanted to make a cameo in that weird David Hasselhoff movie from the other day.
That is true. That's a moment. That's a gif right there. I think it was a gif. I think I legit saw it earlier today. That gif. Oh my gosh!
You ruined those num nums.
You ruined my best beginning.
Yeah. I forget the actor's name, but has he ever not played anything but like CIA, FBI, like some sort of government agency?
Asshole.
Has he never not played anything but that?
Nope.
Probably.
No.
Some actors are just born to play one character throughout their whole careers.
Yeah, I reckon.
He's kind of like James Cromwell.
I think a lot of actors in this are just playing what they normally play.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, even Clint Howard was like Sylvester's bitch. So. That's what he normally is. That's what he normally is. Since he's Ron Howard's brother, he's always just going to be somebody's bitch. So it's like.
Yeah, not wrong.
That's, yep, forever. Done. And how the fuck did he not blow his legs off?
Whee! Stallone stunt double.
There's a lot of leaping in this.
Has anyone seen car bombing ever? Like, his fucking legs would have been just blasted.
Right. You know.
Yeah. But see, he leaped away, so that you means he's fine.
Oh, but still, like, come on.
Yeah, you're right, of course. It's just, you know, that's the explanation. He leaped away, so he's fine.
Oh, Marcy, apparently, I don't know if they have appeared in the movie yet or not, but apparently Billy Blanks and Benny the Jet are in this movie.
Oh, shit.
They play
Yeah, Bats. I'm looking out for them, too. I want to get my Tybo on. I do.
Billy
I'm already posed, ready to kick.
If you've I mean, never seen
God, look at those computers. Boxes,
watch it.
King of the Kickboxers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good movie. That is a good movie.
And my good and personal friend, Lauren Apperton.
Yes. Michael Jetta.
And Benny the Jet Origuez is cool.
I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Jackie Chan in Wheels on Meals.
Which is actually one of the best fights that
it's
Jackie
so Oh, yeah. Good.
Oh, God, yeah.
That whole movie is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hey, it's that shotgun that was like in every action movie ever, and also Jurassic Park.
Shooter!
We're being hunted. Clever girl.
Clever girl.
All right, Dave's got to make it a
start. Why is he so greasy? He didn't, like, did he do shit on Cars? Like,
why is he so greasy?
He was in that explosion.
No, it's all the dye from his hair.
Yeah, that would probably do it.
Wait a minute, this is, my sister's an exotic dancer. This is not what I thought she was doing. She said she was a dancer.
She's not very good. I'll get off stage.
Who has a motorcycle on a fucking in a strip club?
I mean, that's where Kurt Russell first met me.
And I like how that broad works there. And she's like, I don't know any. No, it's like, no, you should know your staff. And if she's nice. Like the featured fucking stripper, you should probably know who the fuck is going to be on stage.
Right.
Well, it might be jealousy, Clancy. It might be jealousy. She probably doesn't give a damn.
Well, I mean, she's a fucking tray full of cocktails. She should know who she's working with.
This doesn't exactly seem like a high-class place, so...
You know, if the tits don't come out, it's high class at the moment.
Well, and again, he asked the bartender, and he was like a total prick, and like, oh, there's a thing. What was the name? Tiffany?
Kiki.
Kiki.
There's 1,000 Kikis that work here. What?
And she drums.
How the fuck is that so?
Hey, she goes all out for her performance. I gotta give her credit for that.
Wait till you see where she puts the drumsticks later.
Ew.
Oh.
And then this douche rocket of a cop that doesn't even have his fucking hat on anyway.
He's like, got the John Cena look.
You don't wear your hat like just like your there you go.
Yeah, do your job, cop.
How old was Terry Hatcher?
I looked up before. She was 25 when she made this movie.
She wasn't desperate yet.
I mean, I can believe she was in her 20s.
Yeah.
By 80s, 20s standards. Because everyone in the 80s looked 40.
Except Kurt Russell.
Oh no, Kurt Russell is just...
Did you go...
I love this quote coming up.
Manamana.
Boobs!
There's nowhere else I like to be, but is there somewhere else we can go?
that is a pretty good line, yeah. We now return you to Showgirls.
Already, I like how all the strippers are like all sitting around, being all like, there's a guy in here, whatever.
Yeah,
and he's the one who's feeling, and he's the one who's uncomfortable being in there.
That's because he's an honorable man. I'm
pretty sure strippers are okay with one dude being in there.
That is true.
Yeah, they probably do a lot worse than that.
You know, they only allow one dude at a time.
And it's Kurt Russell. Are you ever going to argue that?
Here it comes.
Especially even Kurt Russell looking like this.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Ooh la la.
Those are some sexy legs.
Va va voo. Nice.
I'm bikes, am I right, Captain?
I don't know, like Kurt Russell and drag, he pulls it off really well.
I mean, I wouldn't kick him out of the head like that, seriously.
I've got the weirdest boner right now, but it works.
Yeah, I'd fuck him, her.
So we're all in agreement.
Yeah, and hopefully our commentators or our commenters will agree. Mm-hmm.
See you later, boys.
Well, if they don't, who cares?
This right, movie is like way insane.
So good.
My favorite cliche in all movies. The way you like they set up, you're thinking like, "Ooh, something sexy is really going on," and then when you actually see them, it's like, "Oh, nothing sexy actually happened. It's just double entendres."
Yeah, and then Sly Stallone comes in and he's like, "You know, just mentally, just he's fucking my partner." But why is it like
he's not even
what
massaging?
Happened?
She's not even massaging it. She's just like placing her hands like at certain parts of it, of his back. She's not even doing anything like a crunch or anything.
I don't. If she was rubbing my back like that, and her at that age, she could just run her fingernails across my back. I'd be all right with it.
I was gonna say, I don't hear him complaining.
Yeah, she could just blow on my back. I'd be all right. But that.
I so thought you were about to say something else.
I thought you were going to say she could blow me and that'll be good.
I don't think any guy would complain about that.
No.
Nah.
No.
Unless Sly comes in, hey, I'm next.
Ew.
No.
Oh, what? God.
Well, see the way he sneaked in? I mean, come on.
I just like to watch you guys.
No!
Why are you watching Stallone? Why aren't you saying anything?
Yeah. See, he's a freak. He's a freak in the sheets.
He was sitting there enjoying that.
He really was.
Yeah. Drop the duck.
Drop the duck.
Oh, look at Kurt Russell.
You having sexy time with my sister?
My what?
Jeffrey Lewis's hair in this movie astonishes me. It's obviously a very crooked looking wig.
It's such a horrible hairpiece.
It is. Yeah. And the funny thing is, he's uncredited in this whole movie, and he has a very large role in it.
Well, that's weird.
Maybe really? It was like, I bet it was probably like something like, this movie had a very troubled production. I don't want anything to be associated in this movie. I'm taking this off my CV. Take my credit off this movie.
What's crazy is this is such a... like you said, like a troubled, productive movie, but it is so fucking great. Like, it is a cult classic.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. But all the shit they want. Like, I'm sorry. What movie would you say that Kurt, or just an amazing movie, and Kurt Russell's dressed in drag?
The best movie ever.
It is.
And pulls it off.
I just like that King Shark, Lois Lane, and Ego, the planet, the giant planet, are in this movie.
It just works, man.
The early Marvel movie.
Indeed.
This entered the MCU.
Yes.
Actually, if you think about it, these are all just variants.
That is true.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Lois comes from a dark place where Dean Cain was Superman.
I know.
Republican now.
That poor Lois Lane.
Those were some dark times.
We don't talk about those.
We don't. Yeah. We don't talk about those on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't even know what you guys are talking about right now, so let's change the subject.
What?
You'll make a very ugly bride, wouldn't they? Hey, excuse me. Kurt Russell looked amazing as a woman, just for the record.
Didn't stop your ass from watching.
Exactly. I'll cheers to that.
I like that Kiki has a giant picture of herself in her bedroom.
Oh gosh, she does. Huh. I don't know. That's so weird.
It's right there. Look. Okay.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It is. That's weird.
Yeah.
God.
She looks at it every day. Like, I like the look of myself.
I mean, come on, no. No, no, no,
oh,
no.
There it is.
Yeah.
Should have that picture. Not her. In her own bedroom.
Hey, maybe she has that up there for Tango.
Exactly. I just find it funny that, like, Stallone...
Oh, yes.
Stallone and Hatcher are brother and sister, but they just could be just father and daughter. Due to their age
difference. They don't look. No, yeah.
Because, like, dude, he was 43, she was 25. He could have been at the right age to be her dad.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, dude, they're not even that. They're just fucking roommates.
That would make more sense.
Where she doesn't pay rent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or it's her cousin, or it's his cousin from out of town.
Yeah, right. And you know, she pays him by allowing him to watch whenever she brings a gentleman caller home.
And now Kurt Russell's feeling the love.
Honestly, I'm surprised that Kurt Russell in real life didn't just feel something, based on Marcy.
There's still time.
Oh, okay.
He knows what that special tingle is.
Yeah. He'll be like, she's thinking about me.
This is the most 80s thing with like a bullet shell. Like, who fucking carries that?
Right?
As a
Right?
To be fair, even though this is not a To Be Tuesdays episode, Michael J. Pollan's character is basically Q in this movie.
Yes, he is. Or in this case, O. Because isn't his name like Owen or something?
That is true.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just check.
I say that a lot with Kurt Russell. Oh.
Oh. Oh my.
Oh my.
I almost did a spit take. Almost.
Also, this is the thing. Like, how did Sylvester Stallone get in there without Ponytail knowing?
Yeah, he teleported in there.
There. Like, what was he just like hiding in his shower or something, or a shitter or something? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
because there's other obvious way up there.
Hmm. You know, I keep talking about, you know, the mullet powers, but clearly Stallone has powers in this.
It's all in his glasses.
I was about to say it's the glasses power.
And also, like, look how they're sort of dangling him over the ledge. Like, yeah, of course they're going to be struggling because they're legit holding him up by these hands, and he's like a heavy bloke.
One hand. Yeah. One hand.
This is a bit sadistic.
That's an interesting ball gag.
Marcy's like, boom.
Yeah.
ideas.
Bring out the gimp.
Nah, your gimp would be bead.
I'll shoot him in the leg. Yeah. I'll shoot him in the leg and let him bleed out.
What are these threats?
I like when Stallone's like, I don't really care, and he laughs while he says it. Like, I don't really care.
And he's got like the... Oh, you wanna play? Yeah, here it is. Jack.
Oh, well. Okay, so between this character and Jack Burton, Kurt Russell's... Oh, played Free Jacks.
His name's Jack in this movie. It's
Gabriel Cash. Oh, that's right. Sorry. I apologize.
Hey, yes. Get it right.
God, you sicken me.
So offended right now.
I am so offended.
He has every right to be.
Clancy's going to cancel me.
Yeah, you're definitely going to become Marcy's camp now.
So basically, there's this insinuated that Brian James has pissed himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would in that situation, so. Not that bad.
Oh, I would have 100% pissed myself.
Oh. Yeah. They just murdered Brian. I would have shit myself.
I would have puked.
They just murdered Brian James. Oh, wait, they didn't.
No, they didn't. Yeah. But he definitely shat himself there.
Yeah. although my favorite cliche in any movie, even though it could have easily have been applied into that scene, but it didn't, is like basically they think, oh, I'm just going to scare this guy with this dummy gun or bomb on that because it doesn't work. And then they realize, too, like, oh, it does actually work.
Yeah, Rage, oh, I wish that would have happened, but I do love how at the end, and I'm sure we'll comment on this later, when he's like, yeah, we never talked about Plan C, asshole. And he shoves a grenade down in his crotch and just kicks him down the fucking stairwell. And he just blows up.
Yes.
That is like fucking perfect 80s, 90s action shit.
Yeah. Along with this vehicle.
Yeah. This apparently immortal bulletproof vehicle. The only thing it hates is bulldozers.
Yeah.
This car is some Fast and the Furious shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Q. I mean, O.
Yeah. Of course, he's got a giant lens that looks in the shape of an O.
Yeah.
He literally is the same guy from fucking, Scrooge. Literally the same actor. I mean, I know he's the same actor, but, you know, just acts the same.
Mm. Would any of you drive this vehicle?
Only if it goes into space.
Oh, okay.
Or it takes you to Kurt Russell's house.
Yeah. Only if it's a car that I can go in with my family.
I mean, I know they're meant to be going to get the bad guys now, but the car's not very conspicuous. The bad guys are going to see it and be like, there's a gun hanging out on the side of that car.
The car.
And not to mention the car is loud as shit.
Yeah,
it's basically a tank on
diesel.
It's basically a tank on wheels.
Right.
It just looks
God,
like
you are right.
A pimped up soccer mom car.
Yes.
Sorry.
The car's called the
Carinator.
The Carinator. I'll be back. Just talk to your manager.
I was waiting for that. I'm sorry.
Ray, I slept with your sister. Okay, I did it, but I just wanted to see your reaction.
I wouldn't ask for permission. I'm gonna fuck his sister.
I can just say no to that face.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that sparky fucking smile.
See, Kurt Russell's like a puppy dog. When he just gives you that look with that shaggy hair, you're like, oh, let's give him a present.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's time to go back to the bedroom, Kurt Russell.
If Kurt Russell was a dog, he would be a Labrador.
Come on, the only reason why Stallone's upset is because he wanted his first crack at him, you know?
I've been telling her all these years that she was my sister, but she's not. Perrette.
Yeah, you're right. This is definitely a Fast and Furious car. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
This could be expecting Vin Diesel to drive.
My theory, this movie is set in the same universe as the Fast and Furious movies, and Kurt Russell's character is the same one in the sequels.
He's Mr. Nobody.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Nobody, yeah.
Because he, like, was a cop, and then he became a government agent.
Good job, Bede.
And he said to Vin Diesel, damn. I don't care about your family. Yeah.
I'm dating.
Yeah, they did just leap in, didn't they?
Yes. No sneaky in or anything. We're just gonna drive
they
right through the front door.
Through everything in this movie.
They really did.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tango and leap. God.
It should be called Tango and Cash. The leap years.
Yeah.
The leap years.
The leap years.
That was so bad. I apologize.
And it only comes out in February.
Yes.
Every 4 years.
Jeez.
I do feel sorry for anyone who was born on a leap year. You can only celebrate your birthday every 4 years.
Yeah. How sad is that?
Well, do any of you know anybody?
Not that I know.
I might, but I can't remember.
Yeah. The only person I know is like Jerry Gergich from freaking Parks and Rec.
You mean Gary?
Yeah, Gary. Jesus. Oh, another
Gary,
leap.
Jerry. Terry. No, wait. He wasn't called Terry, but yeah.
Yeah.
What the?
Jack Palance,
he was called like four different names.
Orgasms over the
he really world. Was, yeah.
This is disturbing.
And has the hottest family ever.
I know, right?
That's the kind of family that Pornhub loves.
Ew.
Yeah. Plus they were freaking immortal. Because I like how he aged, but they didn't.
Right.
Oh my god. This movie really is the best.
It is.
This movie is legit insane.
So many explosions.
Alrighty.
So many explosions.
So, just because we were talking about leap year, here's a little bit of a trivia for everyone listening. I looked up leap year celebrities.
Oh.
Ja Rule.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Tony Robbins. And I'm just going with popular stuff. Dennis Farina. R.I.P.
I saw him in one of my movies, too.
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Fuck, I've not heard that name in 20 years.
Wow.
Right?
Well, you can continue on ignoring him because he's a Trumper, too. So.
Yeah. But in terms of, like, popular people that everyone would know, that's,
So there are
damn,
some.
Dennis Farina. I miss that man.
He's probably the best one to have been born on that year. When he died, he was only 24 years old.
Still young.
Yes.
Oh, here's the bulldozers. The tank's only weakness.
Hey, Marcy, you know what this? You know what this 80s action movie was missing?
What?
Henchmen dressed up like characters from Mad Max.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because when we were doing Jewsploitation, practically every third movie we were watching had henchmen that dressed up like they were from a Mad Max film.
For no reason.
Wow.
Although Dennis Farina was in, I can't remember the title, the one with Chuck Norris that I watched.
Oh, Code of Silence.
Yes, Code of Silence, that's it. That was a good one, that was a fucking good one.
That poor car only had one day left till retirement.
This is why you don't announce your retirement.
You're done. Exactly. And you're blown up. Oh, not blown up yet.
Michael J. Big Paul, O is going to be upset.
Michael J. Paul is going to be pissed about what's happened to his car.
he's going to have a big O over that.
And then they're like, let's have them do this in these vehicles that they can barely drive.
This scene is basically a monster truck rally.
Pretty much.
And the fact that we just saw a bunch of people running, so they could have easily shot the, you know, Tango and Cash, and somehow shit's still blowing up. Mm-hmm. and apparently everyone in the compound is dead. Mm-hmm. There's no one inside, you know, racking up the weapons.
It's almost like this film was rewritten constantly.
It kind of has that feel, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which video I saw that was about the making of this movie. That's a really good watch. I think it might have been Good Bad Movies did a video on this for their exploring series. That's a good video. I'll have to look it up if it's the one I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where were these guys, like, I don't know, the entire time? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they show up?
They were on their break time.
Yeah, they heard it. They heard the noise. What's going on?
Throwing just... God, where are the bullets going?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, I said that it's not good bad movies I'm thinking of, it's good bad flicks I was thinking of.
Oh, no, I love it.
I kind of want to know what weapon Sylvester's holding. Like, what gun is that?
It looks like an Uzi, but it's not an Uzi.
Yeah, it's like a little hand Uzi.
Yeah. Like, it's like something like a Terminator would wear, would use, I mean. Terminator would use that.
Right. And not have any recoil.
Nope.
Gotta love 80s action movies.
The bomb says
everyone has a bomb.
The bomb says it's gonna explode in like 11 minutes, but it'll be like take 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing all those guns were all there waiting for them when they crashed in.
Right, yep. Yeah.
Now see, those guns look like some RoboCop would use. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. RoboCop's a pussy.
Don't fuck it. I'm shooting.
Not James Hong. That's okay. He's got his star on the Walk of Fame now, so it's all good.
That's what he landed on.
I loved him in... of all things, Wayne's World 2.
Yes.
Wow, I haven't heard that.
When they did the dubbing and all that.
Yes.
I like that he appeared in that music video parody thing for Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, what was it, that song that they parodied? I can't remember.
Mm.
Was it Gangnam Style parody? Was that it?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up after the show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds about right, though.
Someone look it up.
Dude.
Those guns.
Yeah,
they're so ridiculously huge.
Like...
Someone will think they're really trying to compensate.
Yeah.
And all of Kurt Russell's weapons need a laser sight on them.
Not to mention Kurt Russell could have just literally shot him and been done.
I still love how you're trying to make sense of this.
True. But, like, I mean, he shoots him in the face. He's going to drop the knife. He's not going to slice her throat.
Yeah.
Like, he's dead. He's done.
I'm going to talk with a Cockney accent. Shine your boots, governor.
What's all this, then?
Governor.
I want some bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash.
That's Irish.
Hiya.
Oh, wait. Was that Benny the Jet? I think that is Benny the Jet.
Yeah, that's Benny the Jet. Yeah, that's him.
No, that, is it,
No, that's not him.
No. No? Okay.
Not yet.
I just assumed because of the kick.
Yeah. We want Billy Blanks and Benny the Jet, damn it.
Yeah, where are they?
We never talked about Plan C, asshole. I love that fucking quote.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ow! Oh, he punched him right in the throat, too.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
There it is. There it is.
Right as junk.
Fuck your
and
junk.
How the fuck did he just, like, stand there? Like, you're going to throw a grenade in my dick? Like, no, I'm going to fucking defend my life.
Bam!
Clancy, you've Who seen are? This movie about a million times.
Yeah.
I know his dick wanted to explode, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, fuck off, Reed. How did he get her so quickly?
Well, he probably grabbed her when what's his name threw her up against the damn door.
Yeah.
Yep, it's official. Like, now that you notice, that's the thing. Like, now that you sort of notice, like, Jack Palance and Stallone didn't have any scenes together, it's so obvious as you're watching it.
Right, yeah.
If you didn't say anything, it wouldn't have occurred to me, honestly.
I mean, I could even say for Kurt Russell, too. Like, he didn't have scenes with Kurt Russell either. So he's not even there where he's...
Wow.
Where she's, like, on the ground there.
Actually, yeah, he's not. What the hell?
So I can definitely understand why Jack Palance was a bit miffed that he didn't get to do any scenes with Stallone and Kurt in this movie.
I heard he was... You're right, I heard. I read that he was kind of a prick to work with.
I don't know. I haven't heard about that.
Tits, go!
I know, just jingling! Gonna punch her, hit her in the chin.
Those are Kiki's titties. There we go.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
More leaping. Whee!
Whee!
One small step for Stallone and one giant... One giant leap for Tango and Cash.
Oh, fuck off.
Fucking hate that quote. It's knowing Perret.
What?
You're a character. Me do quip.
That's the thing, though. As much as I do love Stallone, he's not the best when it comes to one-liners.
No.
That's more like...
really not.
It's more like Schwarzenegger and also Willis's department doing the comedic one-liners.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Is it raining Perret? I don't know, I got the audio off, but... Raining Perret.
Classy was like, I'm just turning this shit off now.
Yeah, I'm just gonna I love this movie, but I'm just going to keep drinking my fucking whiskey and
that's my that's like something that you see at the end of like a sitcom. It's like,
I know.
High five! Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, God, yeah.
We're going to make it!
Ask what not the critics say. That's like a foreshadow for how critics felt about this movie. The name we just saw then, Peter McDonald, the executive producer, he directed Rambo 3, and he actually was one of the four directors who did uncredited work on this movie.
Oh, jeez.
That's where I know the name from.
And Stuart, which, honestly,
I don't mind Rambo 3, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Rambo 3. It's actually a decent movie. It's just, it's very, it's just sort of it's like very dated. Yeah, I mean, but it's also very dated because it has the Taliban being good guys in that movie.
What, is it the Taliban or is
it was the Taliban?
No, it was the Taliban.
Yeah, because that was around the time when I think, could be completely wrong, so forgive my history if I got this wrong, is when the US actually supplied weapons to the Taliban in their fight against the Russians.
Thanks, George Bush. You're the best.
And that wraps up our movie.
Indeed. Tango and
Cash. Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Tootsie Roll and Currency.
That's the movie.
I want to change my name to Roy Brocksmith.
This was a fantastic time because you all know how much I love Tango and Cash.
Indeed.
So,
Clancy, knowing you...
That ending soundtrack, that garbage 80s song, just right back there, just... God, it's so bad.
Knowing you, Clancy, if you had... if you had your way, you would watch this movie every day of your life.
What makes you say that I haven't already?
That is a good point.
True. Day.
But no, I could literally. This is. You know what? This is a separate thing for the commentary. But yes, anytime there's a Tango and Cash commentary, I'm in.
I'm surprised taken us this long to do one.
And also just a Stallone one in general. I'm just shocked that we've not done a Stallone film until now.
100% sure, because this doesn't feel right to
me. I think so. I'm going to look it up. Actually, where's my phone? Because I'm going to look up all the podcasts we've ever done from the very beginning until now. Because this will answer all of our questions. And if I'm wrong... And knowing me, I probably am.
Oh, real quick, I'm sorry. So I got camera operators, Richard Thompson, but his middle name is Tom. But Richard. Like in quotes.
Well, maybe it's like his nickname, Tom.
Maybe.
Also, do we know what Jack Palance's name is officially in Tango and Cash?
Yeah. Jack Palance is officially credited, but it's Jeffrey Lewis who's not credited in the film.
But his name.
Yeah, Jack Palance, yeah. Like, what's his character's name?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Y-V-E-S.
Parrot, I think. It sounds like parrot, but with an E in it, like parrot.
Right. Well, it's Perot.
Yeah.
Perret,
yeah.
But his first name, Y-V-E-S. I just literally saw it at the credit.
Yeah, I think I'm going to find out because I know I've seen that.
So, Yves Perret?
I'm impressed with your vest.
All right. Let me see. I'm going to find out.
I think it's Yves Perrault, maybe.
Yves All right, hold on one second. I will find out.
Yeah, it's like Y-E or Y-V-E-S. Perret.
Yeah.
Perret. All right, well, the movie is officially finished. So, off she goes. And that's done.
Yeah, buddy. Running Man and Bitcoin. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. That wraps up this installment of the Super Podcast for our August fan-voted commentary, Tango and Cash. Stay tuned for the September one, which we're going to surprise you with what that is.
So. Indeed. Okay, I've sort of looked up the name. It's just Eve.
Eve.
It's, yeah. That's just another
Eve
way
Perret.
Of, yeah.
Eve Perret or Perret.
Because it's a sort of French Germanic name.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
Eve.
All right. So.
Yeah, well, I saw it on the credits and I'm like, what? Like, I don't remember hearing his first name. I just heard Perret. And then it was that weird ass name. And then, yeah.
So maybe that's why, because it's freaking Eve. Something's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yes, that wraps up our podcast. As usual, you can find us at the Super Network at supermarcy.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thesupernetwork. And you can join our group where you can make the votes for our monthly commentaries at facebook.com/group/supernetwork group. We are on Twitter at twitter.com/sm_supernetwork. We are on Instagram at the.super.network. We're on TikTok at supernetwork. We are on YouTube under the Super Network YouTube channel. So find us on all those wonderful places. I think I'm on Letterboxd as Super Marcy or something. And you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy. Bede, where can people find you?
Okay, before I say where everyone can find me, I just look back on all our episodes that we've ever done, and no, we've never done a Stallone film until now for a commentary.
Okay, then.
So, this is the first. but if people want to find me, they can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bejamine, or my personal writer's page on Facebook at facebook.com/terribleaussie. And you can also find me, too, on Letterboxd at letterboxd.com/bejamine. And of course, you can find all of our writings over at the Super Network, including my reviews and columns. And definitely look out for our very soon, or at least hopefully by the time this episode has dropped, our coverage for the 2021.
2001.
Whoops. 20 years way behind.
Oh, we're a decade off. Yes.
20 years off, in fact. the 2021 Fantasia Film Festival. So, yes.
And you can always find us at patreon.com/thesupernetwork for early access and exclusive content.
Well, that was everything. That's all I needed to say. Yes.
I don't know if our guests want to drop their handles on anything.
Indeed. Marcus, where can people find you on the internet?
If you want them to.
Oh, I'm, well, you know, pretty much where they find you guys on the Super Network and, of course, on Facebook and Letterboxd. I still need to get a Twitter. I still need to get an Instagram. I'm still behind the times.
And I think Clancy can be found on Instagram at The Clever Guy.
Yes, I could be found, yes, on Instagram, The Clever Guy. I'll be tagged, I'm sure. Mm. But, you could also find me not only there, but probably in some gutter in an alleyway, you know, drunk. Mm. So on whiskey. So, you know, there's two places.
That's how I met you. Just drunk in the alleyway.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Mm. But yes, in terms of social media, yes, The Clever Guy. And all lowercase, all one word, and nothing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And, of course, all our podcasts can be found on all your major podcast streaming services and platforms. So, that's a wrap.
Indeed.
Take us out, will you?
Well, Marcy has been super. I've been terrible. Marcus has been writing a lot of stuff for the Super Network. And Clancy will be watching Tango and Cash again right after this podcast.
You know it.
Indeed.
Good night and good luck, everyone.
See everybody. Mm-hmm. Bye.
I'll tell you one thing. Whoever set us up is really connected.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Relax. Soak. And don't flatter yourself.
Easy come, easy go.
I hate you, karate guys. You know me, huh?
Yeah, I hear you're the second best cop in LA.
That's funny, I hear the same thing about you.
Now. We'll take it.
No.
That's one of a kind.
We won't put a scratch on it. Did you sleep with my sister?
I was so drunk, I don't remember, okay?